Good morning to all of you. Good to see each and every one of you. Glad that you're here. Good to have visitors with us. Good to see the church family together. And Joe, welcome home. I know her daughter. I went to college with her daughter, and her daughter tried to kidnap Mama. No, I know it was good to be with family. So, some of our guests today are folks who are bringing to our attention the matter. We've invited them to come. If you're not aware, our state legislature has created some laws that violate biblical principles, in my strong opinion. And we talked about it, the elders, and so we've invited these people. You can pick up a summary of these six of these laws that our state legislature has created, and these our guests can explain the situation to you more fully, and we would encourage you to take time to learn more about this situation. God is very clear. He created Adam and Eve, right? Not Adam and Steve or somebody else. Man and woman, God is very clear about this. God has declared what marriage is. God has declared that we should stand on biblical principles. And so these items are issues which violate biblical principles. That's why we have invited them to come today. And so if you have questions, if you have any criticisms, come to me, blame it on me. But we want you to be aware of what our state legislature is doing with our laws in our land that are going to affect our children, grandchildren, and generations to come if we don't stand up for righteousness. Anyway, that's not my message today. We are continuing our study in the book of Romans. I encourage you to turn over Romans chapter 15 as we continue to apply God's truth to our daily living. As I was driving back from uptown, up in the center, coming down and turned on Rio Bravo, I noticed one of the big billboards. Circus in town! Well, it's an old billboard, isn't it? Been there for a little while. We did have a circus in the past. And then on the television, early in the week, there was a newscast that an elephant had gotten loose from its owner and was running through this little town. And the trainer was trying to catch up with it, trying to get it under control. And the whole town was just kind of shut down, watching as a brand new citizen went running through town, a full-grown elephant. They finally got it under control. But I remember as a child going to the circus and going to the Big Top. And I didn't get to go to the big five-ring circuses, but we did have opportunity for a three-ring circus a couple times as I was growing up. And that was always exciting, especially being a child, to see all the shows and all the wild animals and everything that you normally don't get to see. Being up in Idaho, the weather was a situation where we didn't get to see the lions and the tigers and the elephants and all those exotic animals. So to have the circus come to town, that was a special occasion to see these special creatures. And then on top of that, to also see all the different acrobatics and everything else that were going on as part of the show. One of the most thrilling groups, of course, in the circus, I wouldn't want to be the lion tamer, I don't think, in the cage with the man-eating beast. But another thrilling show that they put on quite often are the acrobats, who are up on the flying trapeze, way up in the air, 30, 40, 50 feet up in the air, flying along. What is wrong with those people? Letting go of a perfectly good steel bar and flying through the air and expecting their partner to catch them or another bar to be there when they turn around and grab onto. That's a thrill, isn't it? That is something that would always had everybody kind of on the edge of their seat. Are they going to make it? Are they going to survive this or not? And You know, those jumpers depend upon the faithfulness of their co-partners getting those other bars in the right place in the right time, or for the person swinging on the other side to reach out and to grab onto them just at the right split second. What would happen? I don't want to think about what would happen if somebody up there said, I don't know if I want to do this right now. You know, it's a little late. The person is flying through the air, and your hands, where's your hands? It would not be good. Those individuals totally depend upon their co-acrobats to be there and to do the right thing at the split second when they need to. Of course, most of the time they have the safety net underneath, but once in a while, you know, is there a guarantee that you're going to land on the safety net? That can be dangerous in itself as well. There's something in town that is bigger than the circus, bigger and more important than the flying trapeze. The King of Creation conquered the grip of sin for all humanity, and he has overcome his death with his resurrection. That is a historical fact about 2,000 years ago. And Christ established the church. The church is his spiritual body that is still alive and well today, that is to be functioning according to his plan, where people can come and obey Almighty God and receive everlasting life as well as help right now. But too often, too many Christians decide to pull back their hands at a critical moment when another believer needs them desperately. Or they just say, I don't want to do that. You're on your own. Or they may even just get distracted with life and walk away. Is that what Christ calls us to? Is that what giving our life to the Lord Jesus is? Is that total surrender? And of course the answer is no. God wants us wholeheartedly, completely devoted to Him, to His service, to fulfill the plan within the church to work with each other. As we continue through this book of Romans, we see that God urges us to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by serving each other, by making sure the welfare of everybody around us is being met, not just me. Now, the fact is, if everybody is looking out of it after the needs of everybody else, what is happening? All of you would be taking care of me. But if I'm just looking after my own interests, taking care of myself, how many people are helping me? Just one. All of us need to be reaching out and watching each other to see, what can I do to help you? How can I serve you? And it's not me saying this. Let's turn to our passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 15, the first 13 verses. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in the earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Again Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you join me in a word of prayer before we continue? Father in heaven, we thank you for your scriptures, and we thank you for grace and mercies through Jesus Christ that come to all who would believe, no matter what race, no matter what background, no matter what people group or age. You accept all who come to you through Jesus Christ by faith and obedience in him. Thank you for opening the door to us. And Father, I pray that we will truly open the door and reveal to those around us the need of salvation that is only available through Jesus Christ. Help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear, opportunities to serve you. And Father, help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear of the needs of our fellow believers and to make sure those needs are being met. Thank you for Jesus, for grace. Thank you for your love. Guide us now in these coming moments as we apply these scriptures to our daily walk. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Watching out for each other, for your good. Looking out to the needs of those around us first, instead of satisfying ourselves. The passage is pretty strong about this. The Apostle Paul he's speaking on his own terms because he wants it to happen, because he was neglected. No, he is speaking God's word to us. God calls us to pattern our life after the Lord Jesus Christ, who left glory and left perfection, came down to be the servant of who? All. All of us benefit from God dying for our sin. I've got just two major points in this sermon. Yay! Everybody's happy? It'll only take us 2 hours, right? Okay. First point, the spiritually strong are to help the weak. This is pretty clear. It's pretty laid out here. The spiritually strong are to help those who are spiritually weak. It's laid out there black and white in verse 1. We utilize similar principles in all the physical world on a regular basis. If you were in the Navy uses different sizes of ships and types in order to get the job done in the Navy for different purposes. The football team, do they all have just a linebacker? All the same guys that do the same thing? No, you have a football team with different people of different skills, different size, different weight, doing different things. In pretty much everything that we use, you categorize things and use what's necessary for the moment. And here we find that in the church, all of us aren't supposed to be the super Christians, and only the super Christians get God's attention. Every one of the children of God, anybody and everybody who comes to seek Jesus Christ, needs the full attention of the full body. God's gift of love in us should motivate us to help the weak. One of the characteristics, one of the major characteristics that is promoted throughout the Scripture is God's love, agape love, this unselfish love. Just as Jesus came to redeem us, we should reach out not to redeem others, but to help other people just as Jesus helps us. We should be moved by His Holy Spirit, who indwells us, to show godly love, reaching out to each other, to uplift one another, to assist each other, to help each other, to meet the needs of each other as we see them. Those who are of less faith, we need to be more attentive to them. Now, you're saying, you want me to judge somebody else's faith? Well, let's be honest. The Scripture talks about this. When we come into the body of Christ, we come as newborn Christians, right? And we are to grow and mature, and different individuals are maturing at different rates. Different people are dealing with different issues, and some people are struggling with things. So those of us who are not struggling are to do what? Reach out and to minister, help, support, encourage, uplift those individuals that are struggling in different aspects. We are to use the abilities and talents and gifts that God has given to us. The nature of God's agape love is to give to others with no strings attached. Opposite of what the world says. The world says, I'll help you if you help me. No, Christian life is two hands out. How can I help you? I don't need anything back. I don't want anything back. I'm doing this because I love you, because God loved me. Are we willing to reach out with both hands, or do we just half-heartedly help those around us? We are to pattern our life after Jesus, who gave how much? Everything. His entire life, and He even died our death. But thankfully, He conquered our death. Amen? And because of Him, we have hope. And the people around us, every one of you here has hope because Jesus is alive. He's conquered the grave for all of us. And so we need to walk in His shoes, in His sandals, in His bare feet, and do His will as He did for us. The second point is that As Christians, we are to stand together against Satan and his tricks. Who is our enemy? Are we to be each other's enemy? No, we are to be brothers and sisters in Christ, united in Christ. Our enemy is Satan and the powers of evil and the powers of darkness, and we are to fight against that. You who have been in Christ know some of those tricks that Satan has used against you. You've been through the ringer. You have been through the trials. You've been through the hardships. And through the grace of God, He has helped you overcome, right? Now, when you're walking along in life and you see somebody else falling into the same trap that you fell into 15 years ago or 15 minutes ago, are you going to just stand back and watch somebody else go through the ringer? Or are you going to step up and say, you know, I've went through something just about or exactly like what you're doing, and here's what I found out. How can I help you in this situation? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and following talks about this situation where we have been comforted through our afflictions by God so that we can reach out and help others who are being afflicted, giving them comfort and help as well. Let's not be selfish from what we learn and what we experience from God, but to share it with those around us, especially our brothers and sisters of faith. Helping others requires facing great challenges, all kinds, all types of brokenness in other weak believers. Needs our spiritual love. our spiritual strength, our experience, our support, our wisdom to help them overcome. The body of Christ is the helping hand or the shoulder to lean on. We who are believers must help those living in fear, those who are recovering from divorce, those who are dealing with past abortions or present abortion, those who are dealing in unfaithfulness with their spouse, with lying, with cheating, and other heartbreaking challenges. This is not optional. This is commanded by our God that we reach out and care for those who are hurting. And some of us have been through some of that. We know what it's like. And we can help, support, and encourage the individual in our spiritual hospital. That's what the church is. It's a spiritual hospital for those who acknowledge that they have a problem. I have a problem. It's called sin. And until we acknowledge that we have sin in our lives, then we're not being honest with ourselves. God can heal me because I'm confessing my sin. God can help heal you and the person sitting next to you and the people down the street that are afraid to come to church because they say, you know, the roof might fall in on them. Didn't Jesus come for them too? For all of us? And we are the hands and the feet that Jesus uses in the process of healing people, helping people discover God's love. Christ showed us how to live by bearing our sin and our shame. We see this in verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, this is God speaking, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Fell on who? Fell on God. Jesus took all of the reproach. Jesus took all of our sin, all of our failures, all of our heartaches. You know, in another passage that just came to my mind, Jesus said, you know, when they persecute you, they're not persecuting you. They're rejecting God. They're rejecting Jesus when they fight you. So he said, be bold, be courageous, reach out and serve me faithfully. We need to reach out and help those who are struggling. They need our help. They are weak. Those of you who have been parents, when your child was hurt, did you just sit back and say, well, I hope you figure it out? No. Loving parents reach out and take care of their children. Loving spouses reach out and take care of their spouse. Loving Christians reach out and take care of who? Their fellow Christians, especially. As well as reaching out to the rest of the world. The second point, the scriptures are the guidelines for all people. Once again, you know, from the Old Testament, thy word will I hide in my dresser or on the bookshelf? No. Thy word I will hide in my heart that I might not sin against thee. As we read the scriptures and start applying them, we find areas where we still need to grow. We are imperfect, sinful people. And whenever we totally neglect the scriptures, we start creating our own rules, our own guidelines. Those people who do that create their own system that is eventually very corrupt and is going to fall apart and probably turns around and bites them in the end. We are to read God's word and apply it to ourselves. The perfect God of eternity who created our universe has provided us the directions, the manual on how we are to live in our world. It's for all people to live by the same guidelines, the same rules, and we will discover the same hope, the same peace, the same love, and the same purpose. And that book is still the Bible. And we need to apply the Bible in every aspect of our living. We've been watching a video series on Tuesday mornings, little snippets Our founding fathers understood that the Bible is not just a spiritual book for getting us to heaven. It's also a book that gives us how to live in everyday circumstances. When you look at the Mosaic Law, a lot of those rules were about everyday living, fairness in living, hygiene, taking care of yourself, staying healthy, every aspect of life, not just on how to get to heaven. So how do we apply the scriptures in our everyday living? This is the situation that's come up now. We are in a world that is influenced by non-believers that are trying to tell us what we can believe and what we can practice. And in our nation, we are privileged to have a voice in the matter. Will we do anything? Will we speak up? Or will we just sit back and be a sheep and let them do whatever they want to do? Unfortunately, that's been the attitude for the last few decades. Church, you better not say anything. You stay in your box and we'll take care of the rest of the world. The scripture does not say that. We are to live for God every moment of every day. That infects and influences everything we do, including our public life. And God wants all people to discover His ways because they are the best ways. They are the guidelines from the manufacturer. When you go out and buy something new, do you try to apply rules from something else to your new appliance? It doesn't work. You have to follow the guidelines from the manufacturer, and God has given us the guidelines for every single day. The Bible guides all people to live in unity under Christ. Christ is the Lord. He is the master of everything. He is already master. He's not going to be the master. It's not someday he might be the master. He is the master. He is the Lord. He is the King of Kings already. So the sooner we accept His teachings, the sooner we will find peace to deal with life, just as He promises. The Scriptures guide believers both new and old in the same truth. John 14:6. What did Jesus say? He says, I am, that's a continuous verb, isn't it? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he goes on and says, He's the only way to the Father. Just for who? For everybody. No disclaimer on that. It doesn't say just for the Jews. He doesn't say just for the Gentiles or just for the people from the Middle East. For all people, for all humanity. This church is to be speaking with one voice as we honor God. Verse 6, did you catch that? Are we all in accord? Now, some of you are thinking about getting in a little tiny car. That's not what it's talking about. Are we united in one voice in God's principles? Or do we all have our different opinions of what God really said? Unfortunately, that's where the overall church has gone. Why do we have all the different denominations? Because people started applying their desire on God's word, their interpretation of what I think the Bible says this, or I don't agree with that part of the Bible, so we're just going to tear that part of the Bible out and we're not going to listen to that. Will we get away with it when we stand before the God of all creation? Nope. We must apply all of God's truth, and when all of us are applying all of God's truth, we will stand as one body, with one voice, with one truth, God's truth, for all of us. He is the authority, and He wants us to learn that one voice as we honor Him. When all of us apply the Scriptures to our life, we will all be led by God's one righteous pathway. God gave all authority to who? Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, verse 18. So we had better obey his word if we want a long-term health policy. God's word provides salvation for how many believers? All believers. All believers in Jesus Christ are given the promise of eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus invites everybody, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Oh, I'm not weary, I'm not heavy laden, I don't have sin, some people say. They're lying to themselves. And they need help. They need our prayers. They need our example of living in righteousness. Jesus came to seek and to save all of the lost. Now, here's an interesting situation. The Apostle Paul spends quite a bit of time of addressing the issue that Jesus came to save the Gentiles too. In that day, the Jews thought they were the cream of the crop. They were the only ones. No, Jesus came for all people. How many people did God create? How many people did God give life to? All people. We're all descended from Adam and Eve. Doesn't matter the shade of color of our skin, the amount of pigment in our skin. Doesn't matter what color your hair is or if you have hair or not. God loves every human being, and every one of us of the human nature are loved by God. The first century Jew had basically lost sight of part of their job, the job that God had given to them. Yes, they were a holy people. They were to live a holy, righteous life led by God's law, and they were to prepare the world for the coming Savior. And the Savior did come through them, but the Savior was for who? For all people. As they were living their lives, they were also to be the light of the world. They were to be the example to the world. They were to be welcoming the world to meet God by his standards. All people, including the Gentiles. Paul is led by God's Spirit to list four specific times when God informed the Jews in his scripture that non-Jews, also known as Gentiles, were to be welcomed into the faith. And verse 9 is a quote from Psalm 18. Verse 10 is a quote from Deuteronomy 32. Verse 11 is a quote from Psalm 117. And verse 12 is a quote from Isaiah chapter 11. Now, is God interested in Gentiles? Yes. He's interested in how many people? All people. God created the entire human race for whom Jesus paid for every sin of every one of us. And I'm a Gentile by biblical standards. Thank God for salvation. The fourth point. Believers of Christ must accept and work with every other believer. Verse 7, we must work with each other in everything. Work out our differences, work out our opinions. Make sure we are walking in the unity of Jesus Christ. Every form of disharmony or disunity against the Scripture must be put aside as we serve one another for the betterment of each other. I'm to look out for your best interest. That's not the nature of our culture. Our culture says, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Take care of yourself. Make sure you take care of your needs first. That's not what Jesus says. Take care of the person next to you. Don't think about what you need. Think about what they need. And we've got to fight this attitude because it permeates our lives. When we're out, once you leave this building, who do you think about first? Yourself or your fellow Christians? Man, I'm hungry. It's not, are you hungry? No, I'm hungry. I'm going to take care of my needs. Are you tired? No, it's, man, I'm tired. I'll see you later. I'm going to go take care of myself. It's me, me, me. God says it's supposed to be you, you, you. Let me help you. Do we get it? No, we don't. We're selfish. We're brats. When are we going to get it straight? Love one another. Have we denied ourselves our selfish interests and taken up our cross and followed Jesus? Follow Jesus. Love each other. When we finally get it straight, then we can claim verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we live as united, mature believers, we will have peace. We will have joy. Because we're walking in the love of God. Which fellow believers do you need to unite with in Christ's perfect harmony? Who do you need to serve to help them? How can we, the body of Christ, serve each other? Verse 2. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification, just like Jesus did. Would you pray with me? Father, help us. Help us to put off our selfishness, to live in your righteous ways, to look out for the betterment of each other and not just me. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for your Spirit living in us. Let him work in our hearts and in our lives. Let the world see your church rise up in your life, your joy, your hope, and your peace. Until Christ comes again, be with us, we pray. Amen.